Gemara in Brachos points out that Tfilah was not instituted by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. They weren't the first ones to invent this concept. We find in the Tanakh that different tzaddikim pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the tfilas that we daven, the Shachas Mincha Ma'ariv, the Gemara has a tradition that they were instituted by Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The Gemara understands the pasuk, the second pasuk in Vayitzchak, Yitzchak, and Makom, to mean that Yaakov Avinu daven Ma'ariv. There's a pasuk that Avraham daven, seems that he daven in the morning, and Yitzchak daven in the afternoon, and Yaakov daven late in the afternoon. That's the shadow that he daven after Plaga Mincha, or did he daven after the Shkia. The Mishnah has a machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim, when is the Zman of Ma'ariv? Whether the Zman of Mincha is up until Plaga Mincha, then starts the Zman of Ma'ariv, or the Zman of Mincha is Kol Hayom up until the Shkia, and then the Zman of Ma'ariv is Balayla. The Pasuk sounds a little bit as if he davened before the sunset. Ba'ivka ba'makam, he davened Ma'ariv. Then Ba'yolan Sham Kivah Shemesh, sounds like it. The Shkia occurred later. That's what the Pnei Yeshua points out. Ambrach. Sounds as if he davened Ma'ariv before the Shkia. Or you could interpret Kivah Shemesh, the sun had set already, so he davened Ma'ariv. Question how you interpret Pshat in the Pasuk. The Gemara has a big dispute, the Machlokes HaTanaim, whether Tfilas Arvis Veshus or Tfilas Arvis Chayva. So not such a is not such a major machlokes, but it had such a historical consequences. They fired Rabbi Gamliel over this issue. He lost his position as the chief rabbi over this issue. Because Rabbi Gamliel, the Gemara says in Brachos, he was such a takif, he insisted that no one's allowed to express an opinion in disagreement with him. And he thought that Tfilas Arvis is chayva. And then when one of the younger Tanoim, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, mentioned to him that not everybody agrees with him, that Rabbi Yeshua disagrees with him. So he said, I'll see about that. And he made a whole public issue out of it. And he said, does anybody disagree? And no one said a peep. No one was. Everyone was afraid to say anything. And then Rabbi Gamliel said, but I understand that Rabbi Yeshua disagrees. So he embarrassed him in public. So then the Gemara says that they fired Rabbi Gamliel over this issue. We paskin tefilas arvis v'shus. We paskin tefilas arvis v'shus, and nonetheless, the Gemara says that if a person forgot to daven ma'ariv, that he has to daven tashlumin shakras twice. What does he have to make tashlumin if the whole tefilas arvis v'shus, if the whole thing is optional? So what does he have to make good on the tefillah that he missed? So the Gemara says, if a person did daven ma'ariv on Leil Rosh Chodesh and he forgot to say Yalav Yavai, so the Gemara says, Leil Rosh Chodesh is different from Leil Chol HaMoed. On Leil Chol HaMoed, if you forgot Yalav Yavi, you have to repeat Meir, you have to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. And Leil Rosh Chodesh, because they mekatchen as a Chodesh Balayla, that's, the Gemara gives that as the reason why you don't have to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. So all the Rishonim are bothered with the Kashin. What do you need an excuse? What do you need a teretz why you don't have to daven over the Shmoneh Esrei? If you don't want to, you never have to daven Meir. The Otvila Sarvis is a Chavishus. So the Tosfos claims that Tfilas Arvis V'shus does mean that it's totally optional. If you don't want to, you don't have to. It just means that it's a lower level of a din derabbanan. That if you have a conflict between another din that's a more serious din, davening Ma'ariv, so go for the other din. But Tfilas Arvis V'shus just means it's a lower level chiyuv derabbanan. Not all the dinim derabbanan are on the same level of severity. But Tosfos quotes the halachas gedolos who understood the Gemara kibshuta that tefilas arvis v'shus means optional. If you don't want, you don't have to daven ma'ariv. So how does he read these Gemaras? So the Tosfos quotes the answer of the halachas gedolos. Tosfos in two places quotes the answer differently. In one place they quote the Bahaga saying the din still is a tefilas arvis v'shus, but if a person is in the habit, he's in the practice of davening ma'ariv, so then let's say there's no. Nobody ever made a takana that you have to learn Daf Yomi. But if you go to the Daf Yomi Shir 3 days in a row, then you demonstrate, unless you say B'li Neder, then you're demonstrating that you're probably mekabel this as a Neder, although usually a Neder B'leid is not binding, but a Neder that Bar Mitzvah is binding. Or if a person goes to the Daf Yomi Shir once, and he makes up his mind, he's machlit b'libo, that he wants to continue like that. So then again, we say either a minik tov that a person did 3 times, a minik tov that he does 1 time, and he has a mind that he wants to continue it. So then we assume a minik toiv is binding miktam neder midirabbanon, even though he didn't say b'peh. The Gemara says like that, minik toiv is binding miktam neder midirabbanon. So the one version of the halachas d'olus is that tefillah sarvis really is rishus. Even as Mizman Hazeh, the din didn't change. The only thing is that if you have a person who has been davening ma'ariv for quite a while now, so he personally has accepted it upon himself, always to daven ma'ariv. Kvashav ya'alei chayvah. That's one version of the halachas g'dolos. There are many different editions of the halachas g'dolos that have wide ranges of girsois, the different editions from different parts of the world. They put them all together recently in Eretz Yisrael. They put out Masad Rav Kook, put out, still got to fish around to read the different nuschos. And then Tosfos in other places quotes the halachas g'dolos as saying a different word, not that those people who are in the practice of davening ma'ariv all the time have personally accepted it upon themselves as a chayva, like a minik toiv is binding mitam neder on those individual people, but rather krashav yuhu alayhu chayva. Klal Yisrael over the years has already accepted it as a chayva, and it's no longer a rishus, even if you personally never accepted it. You're not interested in, you're never interested in davening ma'ariv. From day number one, person can, a neder is binding if the bar mitzvah person is a bar das, and a year before bar mitzvah, that's called mufla samach lish. So let's say a person is davening ma'ariv for many years, since he goes to school, they teach him to daven ma'ariv. Then he finds out that a year before bar mitzvah, that's when the nedarim become binding. So then he the first time he davens ma'ariv, he says, b'li neder. He's not the kabbal this as a chayvah. So according to the first version in the halachas gadol, it's not mechuyav to daven ma'ariv. It's optional. According to, because it's v'ashav ya'alei chayvah, depends on each and every individual person. According to the second version, that's the more popular version. V'ashav yuhu alei chayvah, that Klal Yisrael has accepted it as a chayvah, doesn't depend on each and every individual person. It's such a similar expression that the Rishonim quote from the halachas gadol is with respect to fasting the Shar Tanesim. When the second Beis HaMikdash was built, so the question was raised whether they should continue to fast. Ha'efka b'chodesh ha'chamishi hinozer, should we still cry on Tisha B'Av? Nisan year Sivan Tamazov, Av is the fifth month, chodesh ha'chamishi, we start from Nisan. Chodesh ha'zalachem reish chodoshim. So they asked the Zechariah HaNovi, the person said Zechariah, they sent the Shaila to the Nevi'im who were in the Beis HaMikdash. Should we still continue to fast on Tisha B'Av? Because the whole Avelus of Tisha B'Av is over the Churban Beis HaMikdash, but we have a Beis HaMikdash now, but the Beis HaMikdash was incomplete. It was based by Sheni Maschos L'Chamisha Dvarim. It was missing so many major things, so they didn't know whether they should continue to observe Avelus or not. So the Navi gave them an answer. The answer is very unclear, so the Gemara interprets what the answer means. So based on the Gemara, if you live in a free country like America where there's no outright anti-Semitic persecution against the Jews, even though there's no Beis HaMikdash, the Pashtus and the Gemara seems to imply that Bizman Hazeh, Asara B'Tevis, it's some Gedalian, Shavasa B'Tamas is a Rishus. Ratzim Misanim, Ratzim Misanim. If you don't want to, you don't have to fist. Tisha B'Av, the Gemara says, even though it's all together in the same Pasuk, in Zechariah, Tzoma Chamishi, Tzoma Shvi, Tzemu Asiri, they're all mentioned, Tzoma Arvi is Shivasa B'Tamos, and so on. Even though they're all mentioned together in the same Pasuk, but nonetheless, the Gemara splits between the two. So the Rashbo and Maseches Rosh Hashanah on that daf, and daf Yitcheh says that based on Dibri Kabbalah, based on what the Novi said, there's no room to distinguish, but the distinction is Medirabbanon. The Medirabbanon on Tisha B'Av, even if you live in a free country where there's no open persecution against the Jews, one is obligated to fast on Tisha B'Av Bezman Hazeh. But the other Tanesim, Shivasa B'Tamas, Asar B'Tevis, and Gedalia, that's Ratzim Misanim, Ratzim Misanim, that's optional. I but from the Gemara would appear that you mechuyev to fast on the other Tanesim. So Tosis quotes in the name of the Halachas G'dolos, yeah. In the days of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, the Gemara says Rabbi Yehuda Nasi wanted to do away with some of the Tanesim. So Tosis says, how can he do away with the Tanesim? Tosis says, what does he have to do away with the Tanesim? Don't fast. The whole thing is optional, so don't fast. So Tosis points out, the name of the Halachas G'dolos, that already by the days of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Kfash Abiyu Allah Yechayv, Bnei Yisrael had already accepted it. They don't have the Loshen the way some Rishonim have the Bahag by davening Myrik, that person who fasted has accepted it upon himself. They have the Loshen, Klal Yisrael has accepted it. It's interesting, there is a Machloikis, the Mechaber and the Ramah, regarding the Shar Tainiyos. What's the nature of this Kvar Shavu Alay Choyva, which may be relevant with respect to the davening of Ma'ariv as well. The Mechaber writes that the Shabbos before Shivasa B'Tamuz and the Shabbos before Tzom Gedal and the Shabbos before Asara B'Tevis, in Shul they say a Mishaberach, like the Shabbos before Sheni B'Chamishi B'Sheni, Shabbos before Bahab. So they recite a Mishaberach in Shul, Mishaberach HaBracha for all those who are going to fast on Sheni B'Chamishi B'Sheni, and everybody in Shul answers Amen. So those people who plan to fast on Sheni B'Chamishi B'Sheni, they say Amen. That's the Kabbalah's HaTainis. Amen, if someone says a Shvua and I say Amen, and I intend with my reciting of Amen to be Mekabel the Neder HaTainis, so Amen is a Kabbalah's Neder HaTainis. Most of the people do not plan to fast on Sheni B'Chamishi B'Sheni in our community. So when they say Amen, Amen is a blessing on the head of those people who are going to fast, whoever they are, wherever they happen to live. Maybe they live in a different country. Maybe they may not even live in this community. So everybody says Amen, and they have different kavanas. Those who are Mekabel HaTainis mean by the Amen Kabbalas HaShvua, and those who are not Mekabel HaTainis Amen, a bracha on those who are going to fast. So the Mechaber writes that the minig is, by the Sfardim, some of them still have such a minig, that the Shabbos before Asara B'Tevis, the Shabbos before Shavasa B'Tamuz, and the Shabbos before Tzom Gedalia, they say such a Mishaberach and Shul. And everybody should say Amen. And Amen is the Kabbalah Satan. It's not that it's optional. Kvar Shavu Alay Choyva means that the minig has it that we're all Mekabel the Tainus. So according to the Mechaber, it doesn't mean Kvar Shavu Alay Choyva that you're Mechuyev, that you're Mechuyev mitam minik to fast. No. The minik has it that we're Mekabel the Tainus. So that's why the Mechaber writes in another simon, the Gemara says in Brochus, the Gemara says has a shaila in Brochus, before you eat food, you always have to recite a Birchas Hanenin. What if a chef is cooking in the kitchen and he wants to taste the soup that he's cooking to see if it tastes good, but he's not interested in swallowing it, he just wants to taste it and spit it out. So is he required to recite the bracha? That's called matemis. Matemis, it's tzricha bracha, ain't it tzricha bracha. So the Gemara says matemis does not require a bracha, he just tastes it and spits it out to see if it has the right flavoring. There's no need for a bracha. The Gemara just says he should be careful to put in his mouth less than a revius of the soup. If he puts in a revius, so he probably is going to swallow some of it. He's always going to swallow a tiny bit. But if he puts in his mouth a revius or more, then for sure he's going to swallow. It's like a psikresh, he's going to swallow. So then he shouldn't do that without saying a bracha. Okay, so matemis does not need a bracha. Then the Gemara says, and what's the din on a tainis? So the Gemara says, on a tainis yochid, that a person has yartzeit, person is getting married, whatever, he's mekabel aneda tainis. So the Gemara has a sofek, when he accepted, when he davened mincha, the day before the day on which he wants to fast. So he says, by Shema Koleinu, he says at the end of the davening of mincha, the Shema Nesve, so he says he plans to fast tomorrow. So what's included in that neder tainus? Does it only include achil or shtiya? Or should be assumed that even te'ima is also asur? So Gemara comes to the conclusion: no, achil shtiya kabbal alei, te'ima lo kabbal alei. When people are makabel on neder tainus, they only have a mind to abstain from eating food, eating a meal. They don't have a mind to abstain from tasting food and spitting it out. So if the fellow who is makabel tainus, let's say the chasen is makabel tainis, the mincha before the day of the chasen, and the chasen has to cook the food for the wedding, so he wants to taste the soup to see if it has the right flavor, so he's permitted to taste the food and spit it out, provided that he puts in his mouth less than a revius. So Tosfos comments on the Gemara, Tosfos quotes from the Gaonim, the Gemara says a loshen, achil shtiya kabel alei tima loy kabel alei, we assume that Tima tasting food and spitting it out is not included in the neder tainus that he took. So you see, the Gemara is only talking about a neder tainus that an individual is mekabel upon himself. If you're talking about the tainus haksuvim, the tainus in Tanakh that I mentioned in the Novi Zechariah, there it would appear that Tima is also included. Because the only reason why on a tainus yochid Tima is mutter is because it's an umdana that's not included in the neder. Achilish te kabel alei, He was never mekabel that. So that's what Tosis writes. So the mechaber l'shitasa writes, what are the tiniest that you don't need a kabbalah for? So he says the only tiniest that you don't need a kabbalah are Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. The Gemara says does not depend the ratzim misanim ratzim misanim. And Tainus Esther. Tainus Esther has nothing to do with the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. Tainus Esther is a Tainus of Simcha. So you're always mechuyev to fast Tainus Esther. Our prayers were answered then, and to commemorate the fact that we were mispal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the prayers we answered, so we fast every year on Tainus Esther. That's not at about Velus over the Churban Beis HaMikdash. But the other three Tanaisim, Shivasa Batamas and some Gedalia, and Asar B'Tevis, Mechaber writes L'shitosa that since Kvashavu alai chayv, it does mean we're mechuyev mitam minig to observe these as tainiyos. The minig has it that we're mekabel the tainis the Shabbos before, and everybody in shul should say amen. Yes, we're all mekabel the tainis. So it comes out that we're mechuyev to fast on these three tainis, masor b'tev, some gedali, because we were mekabel the tainis. So therefore the mechaber writes, since you're mekabel the tainis, so the net of tainis does not include te'ima, only achil shtiyah kabel alai te'ima alai kabel alai. And the Ramah disagrees with the both Mechabers. The Ramah says, we don't have such a minig. You never saw such a minig by Ashkenazim. The Shabbos before Sheni Machamisha Visheni, they say Misha Berach and Shul. And those who plan to fast, they are main, and they are Mechaben by reciting Amen, that this is the Kabbalah's Nedarat times. But we never saw such a minig that the Shabbos before, sorry, the Tevis and some Gedalia, you should recite Misha Berach and Shul to be Mechabal the Nedarat times. No. Kvashav Yualai Yucheva, that the Halachas Gedolus wrote, doesn't mean that the minig has it that we're mekabel neder tainus. The minig has it we're mechuyev to fast, just like Tisha B'Av you're mechuyev, just like Yom Kippur you're mechuyev to fast ben Atorah, just like Tisha B'Av you're mechuyev to fast ben Derabanan, and it's not totally beratzen. So to the three tainus and mitam minig you're mechuyev to fast. So there's no need for a kabbalas hatainus and shul. You don't have to say any mishabera. So the shitasa the Ramah writes that te'ima will be asa. Te'ima is only mutter on a tainus yochid, where you had to be mekabel in the tainus. So the Gemara makes an umdine that achil ishti a kabel alai, te'ima alai kabel alai, he was never mekabel te'ima. But here on Asar B'Tevis and Shavasa B'Tamas and so on, you don't need kabbalas neder atainus. So you can't judge what was included and what was not included. It's like a Tisha B'Av, so you're not allowed to have te'ima either. Everyone volunteers to wear a tzitzis. It should become a chiyuv to put on a beggar. It should be a chiyuv mitam minik. It should be a chiyuv mitam minik to volunteer this mitzvah. Could be. I don't know. Could be. Tosis has a discussion about it. Tosis writes, in the days of the Balei HaTosis, most of the people did not wear tzitzis. Maybe it remained like that even after. I don't know. You can't say if the overwhelming majority of the whole Jewish community does something, then maybe it's Mechai Mitam Minik. But if the Balei HaTosis say that, I think today, even most religious Jews maybe don't wear tzitzis. Even most people daven in shul every day probably don't wear tzitzis all day long. I don't know. Got to take a poll. See? So by davening Ma'ariv, the Rambam has an interesting thing. We learned brachas last year. When did we learn brachas? Last year, 2 years ago. So the Rambam quotes a Gemara brachas that if a person davens mincha, then in the middle of davening mincha, he realizes he already davened early. He already davened mincha. So the Gemara says, Paisa kafila b'emtza bracha. So the Rambam learns what it means is you must stop in the middle. Other Rishonim disagree and interpret, they translate the words of the Gemara, you're allowed to stop in the middle of the bracha. If you want to finish the Shemoneh Esrei Gezuntah, you can offer a Tfilas Nedavah. But the Rambam holds you must stop in the middle. So the Shaila is, why does he have to stop in the middle? But the Rambam holds that there is such a thing as a Tfilas Nedavah, so why shouldn't it be optional? Give him the prayer. If he wants to stop, he may. If he wants to finish, he should be allowed to. He should let it make it into a Tfilas Nedavah. So Rab Chaim in his Sefer on the Rambam explains that he has rise from the Gemara that the Kavana of the Mispalel when you say the Shemana Esrei, Shachris, Mincha, Ma'ariv, or Tfilas Nedavi, you want to volunteer at Tashlum and whatever, it's the exact same Nusach of the Shemana Esrei. Some people say Sim Shalom by Shachris and Shalom Rav by Ma'ariv. Okay, but basically that's a compromise. The Sim Shalom and Shalom Rav, Ramos says that's a compromise because there were two Nuschos in different Kilas. Some Kilas they always said Sim Shalom, some they said Shalom Rav. So the Ramos developed this compromise that that by Mincha Ma'ariv he says Shalom Rav and by Shachris he says Sim Shalom. But Be'ikar HaDin, it's really the same Broch and Nishman Esrei. That compromise was made in the later generations. It's not that Be'ikar HaDin is a different Nusach HaTfilah. So the Nusach HaTfilah is really the same. Kishem Hashem Ekra. On Shachris you don't say Kishem Hashem Ekra because you're not allowed to be mafsik between Gula and Tfilah. By Musaf and by Mincha there's no problem of being, you don't say Gula. So we have a meaning that we introduce the Shemana Esrei with Kishem Hashem Ekra, but it's not really part of the Shemana Esrei. It's not that it's a different Nusach of the Shemana Esrei. The whole Shemana Esrei is the same. We recite Kishem Hashem Ekra before we start davening Musaf and Mincha. But basically the Tfilah is exactly the same, word for word the same. So the Rav Chaim has rice from the Gemaris, from the Rishonim, from the Gaonim, that the Kavanas HaMespalel is what's Koveya, what the Shem HaTfilah is. Is this Shachris? Is this Mincha? Is it Ma'ariv? Is it Tashlumin? Is it a Tfilas Nadova? So here the fella started davening Mincha a second time. He forgot that he davened already. So he started davening Al Das Mincha. Then in the middle he realizes that he already did daven Mincha. And now he wants to change his Kavanah. The rest of the Shemaneser should be the Shem Tfilas Nadova. So that's what the Rambam understood in the Gemara. Poisek afilu b'emtza bracha. He must stop in the middle. Why? Because the Tosefta says that all the brachas of the Shemana Esrei are ma'akvim zeh zeh. You can't, let's say a person has a siddur and he's missing a page, he's missing three or four brachas. Because in the little siddur you have three or four brachas on every page. You can't say the 14 brachas of the Shemana Esrei that he knows and the five that he does know from the 19 he'll leave out. No. All the brachas are ma'akvim zeh zeh. So here, he started davening Mincha al das Mincha. Then in the middle he realizes that he davened Mincha already. So he's going to, from now on to the end, he's going to offer the rest of the Shemana Esrei, the remainder of the Shemana Esrei, the Shem Nedoveh. So you have a half of a Tfilas Nedoveh and a half of a Tfilas Mincha. So each one is a half. So they're not mitzvah from Yachat because he didn't have Kavanah from the beginning to the end, the Shem Tfilah Achas. So that's how Rav Chaim interprets. That's what the Rambam holds. That if the person is in the middle of Shemana Esrei and he realizes they made a mistake, that he already did daven, he has to be posek afilu b'emtza bracha. He can't convert it into a tfilas nedava.
Don't say by tashlumin that if you're mechaven to do the tashlumin first and the regular Shemana Esrei second, that you're yotzei, as long as it's not a case of like Motzei Shabbos where it's mukach from tefila that you said the wrong one, that you said in the wrong order.
Yeah, that's a machlokes achreina. What if it's not mukhel? Let's say he didn't say Atachan Antonu on either. He said Atachan Antonu on both. So it's not mukhel from the Shemana Esrei. So that's a machlekes like achreinim, whether he's yotzei or not.
It's not. You're having 13 minutes, and you have a mind for the Shachar's first minute of the second.
Mm-hmm.
Yotzei?
Right. The Mishnah Berurah quotes machlekes like achreinim about that. But here, this is where Rav Chaim interprets this Rambam. So then the Rambam, Rav Chaim is explaining because in the next line in the Rambam, Rambam says that this din, that if a person is davening Shemana Esrei of Shachris or Shemana Esrei of Mincha, and he realizes in the middle that he already did daven earlier in the day, that Paisa Kafila Ben Sabracha, he must stop in the middle. He cannot continue Al Das, Tfilas Nedova. Even though if he would want to volunteer Tfilas Nedova, the Rambam understands that he may. Tosfos says there is no such thing as Tfilas Nedova. Out of the clear blue sky. And the Rambam understood the Gemara not so that there is such a thing, you can volunteer Tfilas Nedova. So even though the Rambam holds there's such a thing as Tfilas Nedova, but you can't switch in the middle of the Shemana Esrei, you thought you were davening Mincha, then you're going to switch in the middle and decide from now on let it be Tfilas Nedova, because the Kavanas HaMespalel is Kaveya, the first half of the Shemana Esrei was L'Shem Mincha, the second half was L'Shem Nedova. So each one is a half of a Shemana Esrei, half and a half on Atmet Starfim. You have to have the whole Shemana Esrei should be L'Shem Mincha, L'Shem Nedova. So nonetheless, the Rambam writes, if it's Ma'ariv, a person is davening Shemana Esrei Ma'ariv, then he realizes he already did daven Shemana Esrei earlier. So the Rambam says, let him finish the Shemana Esrei L'Shem Nedova. Why is Ma'ariv Manishtana? Why is Ma'ariv different from Shachris and Mincha? So the Rambam explains, because Tfilas Arvis is always Rishus. Even Mizman Hazeh, Tfilas Arvis is still Rishus. It never changed. It didn't become a Chayva. The Rambam says, "Mizman hazeh yimuchiv to dab ma'ariv." He doesn't. The Rambam doesn't understand like the first version of the halachas gedolos, that each person who is in the practice of davening ma'ariv all the time has accepted it upon himself as a personal obligation to daven ma'ariv. He doesn't learn like that. He understood like the second version of the halachas gedolos kvasha avi la'i chayva. Klal Yisrael has accepted it as a chayva. But the Rambam does not understand kvasha. He doesn't understand kvasha avi la'i chayva to mean that it's a chayva to daven ma'ariv. No, if it's a chayv to dav ma'ariv, then if he started ma'ariv, so then mitam minig, he's mechuyev to dav ma'ariv. So that, the first half of the ma'ariv was l'shem chayv, then he realizes in the middle of the shmanes, we already dav ma'ariv, so the second half is going to be mamish l'shem nidova. So it should be the same problem. So the Rambam says no. The Rambam understands kashya, we alay chayv means the minig has it that we all volunteer at tefillas nidova. We're not mechuyev to dav ma'ariv, but the minig has it that we all volunteer to offer a tefillas and davar. So if in the middle of the Ma'ariv de Gishmon Esri, he realizes that he davened already, and now he wants to dedicate the rest of the Ma'ariv de Gishmon Esri to Shem Nedova. Well, that's the Kavanah that he had from the very outset. The beginning of the Gishmon Esri of Ma'ariv is also the Shem Nedova. Kvar Shav Yuhu Alayu Chayva, the Rambam does not understand to mean that Klal Yisrael has accepted upon itself as a meaning that Yemchuyiv to dav Ma'ariv. The minig is that we all volunteer to dav ma'ariv. We all volunteer at tefillas nedavah. So from the beginning to the end, the whole Shemana Esri was a nedavah. That's Rab Chaim points out in the Rambam, that even Mizman Hazeh, we still say that the tefillas arbis is rishus. The cheftza of the Shemana Esri remains a tefillas nedavah. So it's not considered switching in the middle. So when the Rambam writes this halacha, that one is in the middle of Shachris HaMincha, and he realizes that he already davened, he must stop Paisak HaFilah B'Emtza Bracha. But if it's ma'ariv, then the Rambam says not so, because from the very beginning, Ma'ariv, from the very outside, was a Tfilas Nadav. It didn't change. Tfilas Arvis is still Rishus. So the Ravid writes a Hasoga that it's not correct. So it's unclear what line in the Rambam is the Ravid saying is not correct. So first Rav Chaim explains that the Ravid, the classical Mefarshim on the side, I think the Magen Mishnah, learns that the Ravid is Masig on Ma'ariv. The Ravid disagrees by Ma'ariv, says that's not Shat Kvar Shav Yuhu Alayu Chayva, that you're mechuyev to volunteer at Tfilas Nedova. No, Kvar Shav Yuhu Alayu Chayva makes it that Bizman Hazeh Ma'ariv is a Chayva. So just like by Shachris and Mincha, the Rambam thinks Pesach Atila Be'emtza Bracha, so Ma'ariv should be the same. Because Ma'ariv Bizman Hazeh Mitam Minig is a Chayva to Daven. And if you're in the middle of Ma'ariv, in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei, you realize that you davened already. So from now on to the end, you want to make it into Nedova. So you can't. The beginning was L'shem Chayva Mitam Minig. And the second half of the Shemoneh Esrei is going to be L'shem Nedova. So that's not legitimate. So that's how the Magen Mishnah understood the Hasoga Sarayis. Rav Chaim points out that the Machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid is, how do you understand Kvar Shav Yuhu Alayu Chayva? Does it mean that it's a Minig? The Minig is Mechayvas to volunteer at Tfilas Nedova. Like the Mechaber understood, Kashi Avi Olai Chayva by the Shartanes and by the Sar B'Tevis and Gedal and Shivasa B'Tamis. The minig is that we all are Mekabel and Neretainis. The Shabbos before we say Mishaberach and Shul, and everybody says Amen. We're all Mekabel and Neretainis. And the Ramah disagreed over there with the Mechaber by the Matemis and by the Mishaberach and Shul. The Ramah says like they're right, but no, it doesn't mean that the minig has it that we're Mekabel and Neretainis. No. The minig has it, you mechayev to fast, period. The minig is mechayevas to dav ma'ariv. So the beginning of the ma'ariv was l'shem chayva. So it doesn't help in the middle. What are you going to do in the middle of the ma'ariv? You're going to have a mind l'shem nedava. So you had the first half was l'shem chayva, the second half l'shem nedava. So it's not mitztarif yachad. So the way the Magen Mishnah understood the Ravid, so this machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid, is similar to the machlokes, the Mechaber and the Rambam. The Mechaber is like the Rambam, and the Rambam is like the Ravid. How do you understand Kvar Shav Yuhu Alayu Chayva by the Shartanesim? The same as you understand Kvar Shav Yuhu Alayu Chayva by davening ma'ariv. But then Rab Chaim points out that one could have read the Ravid differently, because it's unclear. The Ravid just says, whatever the man writes is wrong. It's all wrong. It doesn't say what part of the Rambam is wrong. So Rab Chaim points out, if you look in the Rif, on Maseches Brachas, we have in our editions of the Vilna Shas, we have the Hasagas HaRavid printed on the bottom of the Rif. So the Ravid is Masig on the Rif. The Rif understood the Gemara that if a person is in the middle of davening Mincha and he realizes that he davened already, Pesach Kafil Ben Sobrach means you must discontinue davening, you must stop in the middle. So the Rambam picked that up from the Rif. So the Ravid writes, he's not so convinced that that's the Pirush Hamilus and the Gemara. Could be that Posek Kafila Bamsa Bracha means if you want to, you can stop. And if you want to, you may continue. So it could be that the Hasogas HaRaivid in Hilchas Tfilo was not so much on the Ma'ariv, not that it was picking on the Rambam by Ma'ariv. The Ma'ariv is man that should be the Shem Shachris, that it's Kvash Avyuah Lai Choyva, it's a Choyva. No, it could be the Ravid is Masig on the din by Shachris, that the Rambam understood Posek Afile Bemtzah Bracha, the same as the Rif. The Rambam usually copies straight from the Rif. The Rambam doesn't copy from the Gemara, the Rambam usually copies from the Rif. That's what the Chafetz Chaim pointed out, others pointed out. Sometimes there's a strange Rambam, so you have to check what the Girsa of the Rif was in the Gemara. A lot of times the Rif has a different Girsa from the way we have the, from the way Rashi and Tosfos had. So very often you just look in the Rif and that's the answer to the Rambam. We had a different Girsa in the Gemara. So here also, the Rambam understood the Gemara like the Rif. Posek Afilu Bemtzah Bracha means he must stop in the middle. And it could be the Ravid and the Hasogas on the Rambam is not picking, he's not making masig on the Rambam what he wrote regarding Ma'ariv, but he's rather being masig with respect to what the Rambam wrote regarding Shachris and Mincha. That Posek Afilu Bemtzah Bracha does mean that you must stop in the middle. It means if you want to, you may stop in the middle.
Which half is he masig on? What does he say?
He just says it's wrong. What the man wrote is not correct. So very often it's unclear whether the Ravid is masig on the first half of the halacha, the second half of the halacha. So the Magen Mishnah understood that the Ravid is masig about Ma'ariv on the second half. So then Rab Chaim explains, according to the Magen Mishnah's understanding, what's the Nekudas Machlokes? How do you understand Kvash Avi Walai Chayva? But Rab Chaim points out that there is a possibility to read the Ravid differently. The Ravid on the Rambam is just saying the same as what the Ravid wrote on the Rif. The Posek Kafilu Bemtzah Bracha means if he wants to, he can stop. If he doesn't want to, he doesn't have to stop. He can convert the whole tefillah into tefillas nedav, even by Shachris and Mincha. The Torah records the dream that Yaakov Avinu had. He's a very holy man, so he has a dream about angels climbing up a ladder, coming down the ladder. We usually visualize angels as human beings live on earth and angels live in heaven. So if you have a dream about angels, you should visualize the angels living in the dormitory in heaven, and they're coming down to the earth, and they're going back to where they came from. It should be Yor Demi Olim. So that's the problem Rashi quotes from the Medrash Rabbah. How come he sees Malachim Olim V'Yordim? The Malachim, as if the Malachim live on this earth, Malachim going off to heaven, and then they're coming back down. They should be coming down from heaven and going back up where you come from your home. A human being is going up the ladder. So a human being, his home is the earth. He would go up to heaven and visit and come back down where he came from. But the angel should be the reverse. So that's what Rashi quotes from the Medrash Rab. The Medrash asks that question. The Medrash answers, no. Ki malach v'yistav alach l'shmocha v'chol d'rachecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends special angels to protect the tzaddikim wherever they go. But the protection, the special divine protection, is greater in Eretz Yisrael than it is in Chutz Lorech. Because there's more Hashgacha Pratis in Eretz Yisrael than there is in Chutz Lorech. So Yaakov Avinu lived in Eretz Yisrael. At this time, he's about to leave to Chutz Lorech. His mother sent him to go to Chutz. The mother and his father sent him away to go to Chutz Lorech. So the Malachim, who were accompanying him to protect him all along while he was in Eretz Yisrael, are going back to heaven. They're here on earth now. They're not coming from the dormitory. They're here with Yaakov Avinu protecting him. And they're changing. And other angels are coming down. It's not the same angels going up and coming down. Malachi Eretz Yisrael are going up, and Malachi Chutz Lorech are coming down. Then at the end of the parsha, the end of Vayetze, the pasuk concludes, Vayakov halach ledarko, Yaakov Avinu is coming back to Eretz Yisrael, finally. Vayivkavu Malachi Elokim. Which angels are those? Vayikra Shema Makamahu Machanoim. A double Machane Elokim Zeh. Why does he call it Machanoim? Two machanos, a machane of Malachi Chutz Lorech are going back to heaven. Malachim and the machane of Malachi Eretz Yisrael are coming back down, because now that he's coming back to Eretz Yisrael, he's going to have more of a divine protection. Our tradition has it that the closer one is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the more Hashgacha Pratis there is. Korav Hashem l'chol kerov l'chol ha-sheikrauhu v'yemes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is closer to the tzaddikim than he is to the those who are further away. So that's why the Gemara has both the Lekula and Lechumra. You assume the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu medakdik im tzaddikav kechut asayra. When a tzaddik who's very close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, does a slight avera, so he's held responsible for any little slight sneeze of an aver. If a Beinoni would have done the same thing, he wouldn't have been held responsible. What did he do? There was no avera. Moshe Rabbeinu was punished. He wasn't allowed to enter Eretz Yisrael. So what exactly was the avera? So we're not too sure. The Or HaChaim, in his commentary on Chumash, quotes 10 different suggestions from the Mefarshim, from the Rishonim, the Mefarshim HaMikra. Mikra. Well, whatever the avera was, it was a very dakas dik avera. For a normal person, it wouldn't be considered avera, because Moshe Rabbeinu was so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so by him, there was more of a hashgacha pratis. He's punished on a slight little avera. And of course, L'toiva, the Pasuk tells us that Ragle Chasid of Yishmar, Kadosh Baruch Hu will go out of his way to protect the tzaddikim in an unusual fashion. And for Rabbeinim, he may not necessarily go out of his way so much. It's both L'toiva and L'ruah, both for Schar and for Einish. So we assume Derech Klal that in Eretz Yisrael there's more Hashgacha Pratis than there is in Chutzlar. That's how the Gemara says. Eretz Hashem Hashem Elokecha Bo Mireishes Hashana Varachri Shana. What I mean, there's Hashgacha Pratis, there's Hashgacha Pratis in Chutz Laaretz also, means that there's more Hashgacha Pratis in Eretz Yisrael. So that's what it means, that the Malachim are Olam Yordim, there are different Malachim to protect the Tzadikim in Chutz Laaretz, and different Malachim to protect the Tzadikim in Eretz Yisrael. Rambam wrote a Sefer HaMitzvah, so he lists off one in his opinion of 613 mitzvahs. So the Rambam failed to mention the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. So that's the Ramban deleted a whole bunch, 16, 17 mitzvahs, I say, and he replaces them. He deletes from the Rambam's listing, and he had to replace them with other mitzvahs, that it should come out to 248 mitzvahs. I say the same thing in the mitzvahs leisess. He deletes about 17 or so mitzvahs leisess, and he replaces them with his. So one of the mitzvahs that the Ramban claims that the Rambam forgot to mention is this mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. So to defend the Rambam, so different suggestions are given. So the Knesset HaGdolah writes a suggestion that maybe the Rambam thinks that the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is only a mitzvah midrabbanan. And the Rambam only includes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs and the Minyan HaMitzvahs mitzvahs that are menatur. So this is not generally accepted. It's usually assumed that the Rambam agrees, everybody agrees, that it's really a mitzvah menatur to live in Eretz Yisrael. It's hard to say that it's only the Rabbanan. All the psukim in Tanakh, all the psukim in Chumash, everything is all on Asmachta. How can it be everything is only Horuah? Sure. The Pashta says that the Rambam also agrees that it's a mitzvah menatur. So the Ruba of the Achreinim, the Mahalach that they give is that the Rambam understood that the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is menatur, but he didn't bother to count it as a separate mitzvah. It's already included in some other mitzvah. So which other mitzvah is it included in? So some of the Achreinim say it's included in the mitzvah sesi of Oisidbok. We should try to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How does a person become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the different ways how. So the Gemara says, Idovik b'talmid ha-chachamim, become close to Tzach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an Eish Eichlo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is invisible. How do you know how to become close to him? So sometimes we assume the talmid ha-chachamim are tzaddikim. It's not always the case. Unfortunately. So we usually assume that Talmid HaChachamim are tzaddikim. So if a person will be Hidovik but Talmid HaChachamim, so we assume that the one who's a Talmid HaChachamim probably won't be a tzaddik. You have no other way to measure Yiras Shamayim. You have no barometer to measure. You can measure the heat in the room. There's a gadget to measure the heat outside the heat in the room. There are things to measure the blood to see how much calcium you have in the blood, how much salt you have in your body. There are different things to measure. It's very hard. How do you measure who has Yiras Shamayim? How great a tzaddik is a person? So we usually assume that if a person is more learned than the other one, so we assume that he'll probably be a greater tzaddik. It's not necessarily 100% foolproof test, but that's how the Gemara usually assume. So because we assume that a Talmid Chacham will be a greater tzaddik, he's closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Vosidbak means Hidovik v'Talmid Chacham. We should become closer to Talmid Chacham, and thereby we will indirectly become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So also included in a Vosidbak is, that's what some of the Achreinim say, you should live in Eretz Yisrael. Whoever lives in Eretz Yisrael is closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because there's more Hashgacha Pratis in Eretz Yisrael than there is in Chutz Lanz. And others say, along the same lines, know that the Rambam assumed true that there's a mitzvah and a Torah to live in Eretz Yisrael, but it's subsumed under some other mitzvah or another. So That's usually the Mahalach. That the Rambam agrees with the Ramban that there is a mitzvah natar to live in Eretz Yisrael. But the reason why he didn't count it is because he holds that it's included in a different mitzvah. The Parsha continues to tell about all of the 12 children, 13 children, later Binyamin is born later, but in the Parsha you have the 11 sons and Dina, the daughter, they're all born. In Chutz La'aretz, Binyamin is the only one who was born in Eretz Yisrael. The Medrash has one suggestion. We know that the Mizbeach had been built only by Chalkos Shel Binyamin. So the Medrash has one suggestion. The reason why the Mizbeach had to be built by Chalkos Shel Binyamin, because Binyamin was the only one from all of the Shvatim who was born in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, so that's considered a Milah. That's one opinion in the Medrash. The other opinion in the Medrash, because Binyamin was the only one who wasn't born yet. Binyamin was the only one who didn't bow down to Esau. And they came back, so everybody was Kareya Mishtachvet to Esau, but Binyamin wasn't born yet, so he didn't bow down. So that's why the Mizbeach was built by Chalkos Shel Binyamin. Anyway, so the Chumash describes the way all the children are born, and they're giving names to all of these babies. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, everybody gets a name. So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the discussion of giving names in Hilchas Bris Milah. In the third chelik in Yerideya, they say the minig is that if it's a baby boy, you give the name at the time of the bris. What's the inyan of giving names? So there's a Medrash Rabbah, Bereshis Rabbah there in Yerideya, in Hilchas Mila, they quote this Bereshis Rabbah on Parshas Noach. It says in the end of Parshas Noach that they gave the baby a name. So the Rashi on Chumash quotes part of this Medrash, that the Bedoris HaRishonim, they used to give name El Shem HaMa'ora, based on some event that was going to happen during the lifetime, at the end of the lifetime of this baby who was born. So the Medrash Rabbah says, "Bedoris Harishonim Shoyim Mishtamshim Beruach HaKodesh," and they knew what's going to happen during the lifetime of this baby. So they used to be Korim Es Hashem Al Shem HaMa'orim, and Bedoris HaAchrayim, that we're not Mishtamshim Beruach HaKodesh, so we give names named after our ancestors. That's one Tana says like that. That's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says like that in the Bereshis Rabbah. And the other Tana in the Bereshis Rabbah says a little differently. He says, "Bedoris HaRishonim Hoyim Akirim Es Yichuseim." They knew who the family was. They didn't have there weren't so many people around in the world, so they knew who the family was. So they didn't have to give a name after their grandfather, great grandfather. Everybody knew their Yichus. So they gave a name after the Al Shem HaMa'or. But those are achrayim that there are so many people in the world, so a lot of people forget their yichus. So we want that the Jewish people should remember their yichus. So you name the child after a grandfather, their great grandfather, after a great uncle, or a great aunt, or whatever, after somebody in the family, that we should remember the yichus. So that's a very old minhag. It's mentioned in the Bereshis Rabbah. They give names after ancestors. You have in the Gemara, there were three Rabbi Gamliels. There were three Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliels. There were a couple of Rabbi Gamliels and a couple of Rabbi Shimon Gamliels. One generation after the other, they kept on giving the same name, Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel. It causes sometimes problems. The Gemara says, "Kalmak m'shushan Rabbi Shimon Gamliel b'mishna seina halacha k'moisai." Whenever the Mishnah quotes Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, we always pass like him, except for one of the cases of the Mishnah later in Gittin by Tzidon. So which Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? More than one. So the Kesef Mishnah says, well, you have to tell, it's only that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, not the other one. And how do you know who's speaking in the Mishnah? You have to figure out who is he talking to, which generation. So you have to know history. Which Rabbi Shimon Gamliel speaks to which Tana? Which generation did he live? Rabbi Gamliel. The different Rabbi Gamliels. Some were Bizman Abai, some were after the Churban Abai. So you got to know which Rabbi Gamliel are you talking about? Different Rabbi Gamliels. The Ramah quotes the minig that he give the name of the baby boy at the bris. So there's a sefer Matei Moshe. Matei Moshe was after the Ramah. I think he was a Talmud of the Marshal, if I'm not mistaken. The Mogen Avraham quotes the Matei Moshe a lot. So a little sefer has dinim like a kitzur shulchan aruch, has minhagim a lot. So he's quoted every so often. He's quoted in the Mogen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah. So the Matei Moshe explains why did the minhag develop that they give the name to the baby boy by the bris? Because Avraham Avinu had a name before he had his bris. And then when he got his bris, They gave him his name, Avraham. Right after the Bris, the Baruch Shalom gave him a different name, Avraham. So just like Avraham, the name that stuck with him was the name that he got by the Bris. So too, that's our meaning. We give the name by the Bris. It's not exactly the same. The Mefarshim point out the name that Avraham had before was a Goyish name, and then he became Jewish at the time of the Bris. If a baby is born to a Jewish mother, he is Jewish already. So you can give him the name before the Bris. There's nothing wrong with using the Jewish name that he was given before the Bris, after the Bris. It's not the same. Avraham Avinu wasn't Jewish until he was given the mitzvah Rishon of Bris Milah. But still, that's what the minig is based on. So we give the baby the name at the time of the Bris. Unless, let's say, Ramesha Feinstein writes like that. Let's say the baby is sick and is going to be in the hospital for a couple of months. And they won't be able to do the Bris for a long time. So you want to be mispala for the babies. You have to say mispala for the tinok. You don't say a name. So many Ramesha, many Gdolim Hol, you give the baby a name before. It's not a dinit. You can't, let's say, on the birth certificate. So they give you a day and a half or so, 2 days to write a name. Say, no, baby doesn't have a name. So you have to write baby Shechter. And after the Bris, then you're going to say the name. Not allowed to tell anybody the name. What's a deep, dark secret? You tell a name. The meaning is that you announce the name at the time of the Bris. It's not, doesn't have to be kept a secret. You can write it on the birth certificate. It's not an aver. Meaning is you announce the name at the time of the Bris. By a girl, they're different minhagim when you give the Bris. It's a non-halachic topic, but there's the Minchas Yitzchok has tshuvas on non-halachic topics. Others wouldn't write a tshuva like this. He has a long tshuva. He says, these chassidim have a meaning, they wait till the third Shabbos, and these chassidim the first Shabbos. And these chassidim, they say, no, the Sheni Vechamishi, whichever day comes first. Whatever, different minhagim, when you give a name to a baby girl. But you see in the parsha, it's such a big deal about all the names that Yaakov Avinu had a lot of children, so they had to give a lot of names to all the children. In the middle of all the babies being born, so you have Rachel is pleading with her husband, Yaakov, Havali Bonim Vimayin Mesa Anoichi. He should daven for her, that she should be able to have children, otherwise, Mesa Anoichi. So what does that mean, Mesa Anoichi? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Mishein La Bonim Choshev Kemes. The Gemara makes such a statement. Shloisha Choshevim Kemes. One of them is Mishein La Bonim. Why is he Choshev Kemes? So we usually assume that a person, how long does a person live? Meshin HaSein Abahem Shivim Shana Alpidin, 70 years. That's Halacha, 70 years. The Gemara says when a person, let's say a person, a man or a woman doesn't have Shtei Sairis, so he's a Kotten. He keeps on being a Kotten, doesn't become Bar Mitzvah. You don't become Bar Mitzvah at 12 or 13. You have to have Shana Visimonim. You have to have Yud Bei Shana V'Yamechad for a girl, Yud Gimel Shana V'Yamechad for a boy. And you have to have Shtei Sairis and the Eva HaLeidah. So what happens if the Shtei Sairis don't grow? So the Gemara says in Maseches Nida, in the end of Perek Bas Simen, that Kibin Shigil, the Rosh Noisa, when a person reaches the age of, past the age of 35, that's how Pidin Rosh Noisa, because he mentioned Sein Abahem Shivim Shana. So then the person gets an honorary degree, an honorary Gadol, honorary Bar Mitzvah. So that's Takedin, Meshon Sein Abahem Shivim Shana. V'migvur Shmarim Shana. Okay, people live longer than 80, people live 90, 100, people live Arichas Yom. But how long is that already? How long do you live? People don't live so long. So tzaddikim like to extend their lives. So we live in the past and we live in the future also. We live in the past, we identify with Avraham and Yitzhak and Yankov and Moshe Rabbeinu and Rabbi Akiva and Abai Verovim with the Vilna Goyen and all the tzaddikim. We identify with the past and we project ourselves into the future. We're going to have children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. You're talking about living in the past and living in the future. So we extend the period. We relive things that happened in the past by talking about every year we read the Parshas HaShavua and we relive and re-experience all of these incidents that are described in the Tanakh. The Rishoyim are not interested in the past, not interested in the future. They quoted in the newspapers years ago that there's a writer in Eretz Yisrael, Amos Oz, not a believer. So he's supposed to be called a philosopher. He keeps on changing his mind about everything. So Mishnah, a philosopher. So he says, give away the Makam HaMikdash to the Arabs already. Who wants to live in the past? The Jews are always talking about Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu and Yaakov Avinu and Moshe Rabbeinu and Rabbi Akiva, always living in the past, always living in the future, talking about Eliyahu HaNavi and Melech HaMashiach. I don't want to live in the past, I don't want to live in the future, I want to live in the present. So he says, give away the Makam HaMikdash, and whoever is interested, give it away to the Arabs. Whoever is interested in seeing what the Jewish country used to be like, so we'll give our passport in, we'll go visit this Arab country, and then we'll come back to normal. Normal is modern Israel today. And I don't want to live in the future, I want to live. He wants to rush, he wants to enjoy Olam Hazeh. He wants to live in the present only. So that's what the rabbis thought, that was not correct. A tzaddik should live in the past and live in the future. You just live in the present. Present is very brief. Present is one of the Jewish philosophers from the Middle Ages wrote that Heovar Ayin, the past is gone, Vehosid Adayin, and the future is not here. Vehahova Keherif Ayin, Heovar Ayin, rhymes. Vehosid Adayin, it's not here. Vehahova Keherif Ayin, there is no present. So Rav Soloveitchik, in his published essays, quotes this line. I think it's from Rabbi Yedaya Hapnini. He quotes this line and he said, this is not the generally accepted Jewish thought. We say, Ha'avar is here, and the Asid is here. We live in the past, we live in the future. We live in the present only. There is no present. Ha'avar Keharifayim, so you're not living. Rishoyim v'chayim, kruim mesim. The Gemara has an expression. The Rosh, even while he's alive, is considered dead. How long is he living already? He's only living, he's only interested in enjoying Olam Hazeh. You have to extend your life. So that's what the Chachamim said. Even a person who lives in the past, but Mishain Labanim, he can't project himself into the future. So in a certain sense, he's Choshev Kemes, because he's not going to have that longer life. He's going to live Yemeshan Asayin Bahem Shiv Mishana, and he lives another 3,000 years. All the way back to, he only lives Nebuch 3,000 years. From the days of Avraham Avinu till the present, but he can't project his life into the future, because Mishain Ain Labanim. So that's Nebuch. Arachman is Choshev Kinev. You have to try to live in the past and the future, as well as in the present. The present is hardly any time. There's nothing there in the present to live in. After working for his uncle Lavan for so many years, 7 years to marry the first wife, 7 years to marry the second wife, and another couple of years. So finally, Yaakov Avinu tells his wives that Aten yedatin ki b'chol kochi avadati es avichen. I worked for your father. I was very honest. He gave all of his koches to work, and the father doesn't treat him nicely, so he wants to leave. So they all agree that they're leaving. So the Gemara in Bava Metzia quotes this pasuk, Aten yedatin ki b'chol kochi avadati es avichen, to indicate a certain halacha, that there's a major difference in din between a shamachinim and a shamasachar. One difference we know, shamachinim is only chayv and pshia, and a shamasachar is chayv and gneiv aveda. But what constitutes, what does it mean, what's the definition of pshia, what's the definition of gneiv aveda? So the Gemara says, what's the din of notar kidinatri inshi? What's the din if the shomer watched to the same extent that the owner himself would have watched? Let's say the owner of the apartment himself went away and he asked me to watch his apartment. Chinam, Amisham Chinam. And Shmiru Bikarkoes. There's no din of Shemir by Karko. Let's say he has furniture in the house, so there's Metaltum there too. So let's say the owner of the apartment in the summertime leaves the windows open. He wants to get some fresh air. I saw Aganev can climb up on a ladder, can climb up on the fire escape and climb through the window and empty out the whole house. So the owner lives in the apartment and he sees that the Ganovim don't come into the house. The owner sometimes goes downstairs to pick up the mail. Let's say they don't know exactly what time the mail is going to be delivered. So he goes downstairs and he meets some neighbors. He talks to them. He doesn't always lock the front door to his apartment. He certainly doesn't. Even if he does lock the door, when he goes downstairs, he doesn't lock all the windows when he goes downstairs. Just like he leaves the windows open when he's upstairs in his apartment. So when he goes downstairs to pick up the mail, he leaves the windows open. So let's say he meets the mail deliverer, the mail carrier, and he meets some of the neighbors, and he carries on a conversation. He goes back upstairs 10 minutes later. So if the Shomer did that, and he comes back upstairs, he finds out that the Ganovim were watching, And they emptied out the whole apartment. They stole everything at that time. So is he considered a shemachinim eschayiv and pshia? Is that considered a pshia? So the Gemara says that if, the Gemara says in Bab Mitzvah, if not the kedinatri inshi, he guarded the property to the same extent that the balabas himself would have guarded it. He watched it the same way the balabas would. He didn't walk away, leave the house unlocked. He didn't walk away. He walked downstairs. The balabas himself would do like that. So shemachinim is not for shemachinim, that's not considered pshia. But shemesachar, that's what it means. Shemesachar is chayv and gnei v'aveda. It means it's a pshia, but he has a little bit of an excuse. So for shemachinim, the only time shemachinim is chayv is if it's an outright pshia. If it's a gnei v'aveda, then the shemachinim is not going to be chayv because it's not 100% pshia. But for shemesachar, for the purposes of Hashem Masafa, that's considered Pshia, because he should have watched better. Not the Kirinatri Inshi is not sufficient. If he just watched to the same extent that the Balabas himself would have watched, that's not sufficient. He has to watch even harder. So that's what the Gemara learns out from this pasuk, that Yaakov Avinu was obviously salaried by his father-in-law Lavan to watch the behemoths. He paid him. He made an agreement. He's going to take all the Akudim, the Kudim of Rudim. So that's why he says, "Aten yedatin ki b'chol kochi avadate esabichim." You know that I put all of my effort and energy into watching the behemoths for your father. That's the din. That since he was, if he would have only been a shemachinam, he wouldn't have to do b'chol kochi. But because he was a shemesach, that's why he had to work harder. The Rambam in the end of Hilchas Chiras quotes this pasuk in a different context. The Rambam quotes it: if you have a poel, if you have a worker. So let's say the person before me was a secretary in a business. They didn't know how to do anything on a computer. They used to type everything with one finger. So it took forever to send out the bills, to send out the letters. I can type with all the 10 fingers, and I can do a computer, and I can do all the work that they took a month to do, I can do it in 1 hour. But they're only paying me the same salary that they're paying the other guy. So why should I do all the work in 1 hour? So I'll waste all the time. I'll accomplish the same as the previous worker did, and I'll see to it that it takes a whole month. Why should I work my head off? So the din is that you have no right to say like that. You have to have poil mechuyev lava b'chol koicha. The Rambam writes that poil is mechuyev to give, to do the work to the best of his ability. Doesn't have to be over conscientious. He's not allowed to go to the bathroom. I mean, he comes to the office 9 in the morning and he stays till 5 in the afternoon. He can't go to the bathroom. We allow him to go to the bathroom if he has to. Can't have any coffee break. We allow him to have a lunch break. But he shouldn't have lunch break for an hour. He's going to learn the Daf Yomi and the Yerushalmi Yomis and the Mishnah Yomis and more. That's the Geneva. Yeah, they give you time. The poel is mechuyev lava b'chol koicha. He has to put all of his effort and energy into doing the work. So the Rambam understands that this is a din in poelim. It's chivas poelim. If you're doing a job for someone else and they pay you by the hour, by the day, so you have to give all of the time in. How did the Rambam change it from the Gemara? The Gemara says, you learn out from the pasuk, that there's a difference between a shemachinim and a shemasocha. Shemasocha is mechuyev lava b'chol koicha, that not the kirinatrim, she is not enough. And the Rambam quotes it benegir to a poel. So the answer is that it's Hainuhach. It's the same thing. The difference between a Shamachinim and a Shamasachar is because the Shamasachar's salary to do the work, so the Shamasachar is a poil. So when the Pasuk says that of Shamasachar's Bukhiv Lavid Bechol Koichai, that's because the Shamasachar is a poil. That's what the Machne Ephraim writes it in. He doesn't come to answer this theory. How come the Rambam writes differently from the Gemara? But based on what he writes, we can see that that's what he understood. The Machne Ephraim writes like this: we have a din that a poel chayze ba'afila b'emtza hayom. The first parak in Bavin Tzia learns that from a pasuk, ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim v'la avadim l'avadim. That if a Jew is employed by someone else, and you're going to say that he's not allowed to quit in the middle of the year, not allowed to quit in the middle of the job, so it's like he's a slave. So everyone has to be self-employed. No one's allowed to be employed by anybody else, because you're not allowed to sell you. It's not proper to sell yourself as an Ebi. So the Gemara says, from that Pasuk we understand, you're allowed to be employed by someone else. That's not Shaykh to say everyone has to be self-employed. You can never work for someone else and get paid by someone else. That's not called an Ebi, because if you want it, you can always quit in the middle. If the din would have been that a poel is not allowed to quit in the middle, then a pu'ula taking, accepting a job to be employed by someone else would have constituted a certain form of slavery. And we're opposed to Jews becoming slaves. So that's how we established the din that a poel yuchal lachza by afila b'em tzayom. Unless by quitting in the middle is going to cause a hefset to the balabas, that you're not allowed to do. He's going to quit, he's going to call up, he's going to tell the boss today when he leaves at 5 o'clock, I'm not coming back tomorrow. So where's the boss going to get someone else to replace him? So you have to tell the boss a week or two in advance. Get someone else to replace me. I don't want to stay here. And if it's such, the nature of the business is such that you can't get someone, let's say a school, where are you going to get a qualified person to teach in the middle of the year? So if you can't, so the poel is not allowed to quit in the middle of the year. Not allowed to cause a hefset for the balabais. But basically the poel can quit in the middle. So the Rashbon, the first perek in Kiddushin, quotes the Rav, it has a hoichocha from a Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara has a case, a man gave a ring to a girl and she's a shemachinam on the ring. She's watching the ring. And then he got to know the girl. So he tells the girl, you know that ring that you're a shemer on, harei mekudesh sleep with the ring. So what's she supposed to do? She doesn't want it. If a man says to a girl, harei mekudesh sleep, here's a ring, so she has a berry. She says, no, here's your back. Here's back your ring. I don't want to marry you. But if she's a shemer on the ring, it's in a pocket. She's a shemer on the ring. So then a month later, the mafkid tells her, Harriet Mekadesh is leaving with the ring. So what he wanted to do, she's going to throw away the ring. So she'll be chai b'achrayis. She'll be chai b'achrayis. So shtika doesn't necessarily, shtika, when I give a ring, I say Harei Mekudesh Esli, so the girl doesn't have to say anything. Shtika b'shas kiddushin is assumed to be a haskama. But over here, shtika, when the boy tells the girl Harei Mekudesh Esli with the ring that you're holding is a pikadon, so she's afraid to throw away the ring. She's afraid she'll be held responsible. So that shtika doesn't indicate that she's masking. If she says, good, I'm happy, I'll be happy to marry you. Good. So then it's a good kiddushin. But just shtika alone doesn't indicate anything. So the Rashba over there quotes in the name of the Ravid, why shouldn't the shtika by a pikadon, if the girl is a shomeres, why shouldn't the shtika indicate that she's masking to the kiddushin? Otherwise she can say, I don't want to, here's back your ring, I don't want to be responsible anymore. So he says, from this gemara it would appear that a poel can quit in the middle, but a shomer cannot quit in the middle from being a shomer. If I'm a shomer on a pikadon, and then one fine day I say, here's your pikadon, goodbye, I don't want to watch it anymore. So the Ravid learns out from this Gemara that the poel has no right to quit in the middle. If the mafkid says, okay, goodbye and good luck, I'll get someone else to watch the pikadon, fine. But if the mafkid says, no, I'm going to hold you responsible for the pikadon, you agree to be the shomer for a year, and the year is not up yet, so the Shomer cannot quit in the middle. And that's the opinion that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, La'alochen. There's a siman in Hilchas Shom that only has one sif, very unusual. Siman in Shulchan Aruch that only has one sif, and that's what that sif says. This chiddush that the Rashba quoted, the name of the Ravid, the whole marker is a Gemara in Kiddushin. Should have been somewhere in Hamafkit, should have been somewhere in Bava Metzia. They don't have a raya from Bava Metzia. The raya is from the Gemara in Kiddushin, that a Shomer cannot quit in the middle. A poel can quit in the middle, and a shomer cannot quit in the middle. So Machne Ephraim writes a chiddush on his own. If a shomer is a shomer socher, and in the middle he's a shomer socher for a month, in the middle of the month, halfway through the month, he says, I don't want to be a shomer socher, I'll be held responsible for Gneva V'Aveda. I don't want to be so responsible. It's enough that I'll be a shomer chinam. So for the second half of the month, you agreed to pay me $100 to watch the pikadon a month. Half of the month went by, so I forgo the remaining $50 for the shomer socher job for the second half of the month. Let me just be a shomer chinam. So you can't quit being a shomer legamre unless the mafkid is in agreement. The shomer cannot quit in the middle. That's the siman of Shulchan Aruch, where they quote the Rashba b'shem the Ravid, for the Gemara in the first parak in Kedushin and Daf Yud Gimel. But the shomer socher, the Machnan Ephraim is Mechadish, the shomer socher can quit his status as Shema Socher and lower the level to become a Shema Chinam. Why? Because the Maila of the Shema Socher over the Shema Chinam, why is he more Chayev, Be'achrayis, is because he's a Poel. So the Poel is Yochel Achzav Afi Le'Bem Tzayam. The Poel can quit. From becoming a Shema, that's not a din of Poel. He's not salaried. To become a Shema Chinam is not salaried. So that's not a din of Poel. Chayza b'afi lebem zayom. That's the halacha. Poel cannot. Hashem cannot quit in the middle. But the chumre, the chayim hadin that the Shem Mestacha has over and above the Shem Achinon, that's because the Shem Mestacha is a poel. He's salary. So poel yochal achza b'afi lebem zayom. So it comes out that there's no kasha in the Rambam. The Rambam wrote the last halacha in the Rambam in Hilchas Schiras. The Rambam quotes this din from the Chumash, and he says, "Hapoyol v'chuyev lavet b'chol koichoy sharei b'yankev hatzadik u'emer." We would have written Yankev Avinu. The Rambam doesn't call him Yankev Avinu; he calls him Yankev Hatzadik, and he quotes the pasuk, "Aten yedaten ki b'chol koichi avadati asavichen." So the Rambam proves from here that a poel is mechuyev lavet b'chol koich. The Gemara didn't say. The Gemara said that this shows that ma'ilah v'shem mesachar v'shem achinam. So the Rambam understood, like the Machane Ephraim, it's hainu hach. The ma'ilah that Shem mesachar has over Hashem achinam is because the Shem mesachar has the status of a poel, because he's salaried, he gets paid money to do the shmir. So whenever you have a poel is mechuyev lavet b'chol koich. A lot of people make that cheshbon, that shaloi kedin. The fellow before me didn't work so hard. I'm getting the same salary as the one before. I'm getting the same raise that he would have gotten. He would have gotten the same thing. If he wouldn't have left, he would have gotten the same raise. So why should I work harder than him? But the answer is I'm younger. He's already 75 years old, so of course he's slowed down. I'm only 25 years old, so I can do much more in the exact same amount of time without getting a nervous breakdown. It's not, you're not mechuyev to go crazy over the job, but you're mechuyev to give all of your koichet, so, and especially if you can do it on a computer, you can send out all the 5,000 letters in an hour. So you're talking mechuyev to do all the letters in an hour. What are you going to do the rest of the time? So tell the boss, I can finish all the work in an hour. Give me something to do the rest of the month. That's not halacha. The poel is mechuyev l'avad b'chol koich, and you shouldn't make a cheshbon, but the guy before me got the same salary and he did much less. You're not allowed to do that. Gemara has a din out of Kvod Shabbos. When Shabbos is over, you have to have a Malava Malkit to show how much Chashivas the Shabbos had, that we bid the Shabbos farewell. The Rambam sounds like he has this both for Shabbos and for Yom Tov. There's a din of the dinim of Kibud Enoineg. In the Novi and Yirmi, it only says it about Shabbos, doesn't say it about Yom Tov. The Karos of the Shabbos Sonig Lechvod L'kdosh Hashem Mechubot. So there were four dinim. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Shabbos, there are four dinim, four mitzvahs on Shabbos, the Zachar B'Shomer and the Chumash, and then you have Kibud V'Yonig and the Navi Yishaya. The Rambam writes that all four dinim carry over from Shabbos to Yom Tov. The Beis HaLevi and others point out that the Rambam is problematic because the Gemara in Beitza sounds like it says explicitly that Kibud V'Yonig only applies to Shabbos, doesn't apply to Yom Tov. That's a problem. We don't know exactly how to deal with that, but that's what the Rambam writes, that all the dinim carry over from Shabbos Yom. So the Rambam sounds like he says that Malava Malka, not only we assume that Shabbos is the Malka, they never call Yom Tov the Malka, but the Rambam sounds like he writes that the inyan of having a Suda if the Shabbos is over, to bid farewell to the Shabbos, to show that this you were so excited about the fact that Shabbos was here, carries over from Shabbos to Yom Tov as well. It's supposed to have Malava Malka, whatever you'll call it, if the Yanta pleases as well. So in the Sefer Or Zeruah, from the Rishon, he says that the Moker in Chumash for this idea is in today's Sedra, that when Lavan chases after Yaakov, and Yaakov snuck away, when Lavan was not there, so Lavan says, why did you hide when you ran away? If I would have known that you're leaving, I would have made a farewell party. He would have made a whole farewell party because he appreciated so much Kol Zman that they were staying there by him, his children, his daughters, and his son-in-law, and all the grandchildren. And he would have made a farewell party. So you see that whenever you have chashuv guests and you bid them farewell, so you try to make a farewell party. So the same is true for Shabbos. The same is true for, should be true for Yom Tov as well. It's not a chassidish minhag, it's in the Gemara, it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch that he's supposed to have a Malava Malka on Yom Tov. That's already the Rama Marira. So So those who always study Rambam are makdet to have Lav Malki after Yantiv also. But Shabbos, that's a beferish gemara. You have to have Lav Malki after Shabbos is over to show, as part of Kavod Hashem, to show that how much we appreciated the hours that Shabbos went with us. So we bid the Shabbos farewell after it's all over. We assume it's midi rabbanon. Yeah, we assume that the shalashudis is also only midi rabbanon. The kibud, yeah, the din of kibud v'yoneg is midi kabbalah. Midi kabbalah means that it's higher than a plain din de rabbanon, but lower than a din de raisa. It's a din de rabbanon that has the approval of the Ruach HaKodesh because it appears in Navi. Here, this din of kibud v'yoneg appears in Yeshaya. But still, bottom line, it's a din de rabbanon. It's a little more chomer. Kibud v'yoneg is a little more chomer than any other din de rabbanon. But bottom line, it is a din de rabbanon. It's not a din de raisa. Some rishonim seem to hold that the Sholosh Sudas on Shabbos is a din de raisa. It's based on the fact that it says, Ichlu hayom ki Shabbos hayom l'Hashem hayom l'Hashem tzuhu basod in Parshas Shalom. It says three times the word hayom. But the accepted opinion of Shulchan Aruch is that Sholosh Sudas is only the rabbanon. The three Sudas are only the rabbanon. So the Malam Malka is not going to be more chomer than the Sholosh Sudas. So it's only the rabbanon. Yesterday we were learning the Gemara Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara talks about a shtar parso, a shtar halvoa that was signed by Nochrim. So it's not acceptable. We assume like Tosfos said, shtar halvoa that Nochrim are posulatus, not only labanei krisis, not only are they posulatus in the area of Gittin Kiddushin, because whoever Zayin B'Taras is posulatus. We assume that a Nochri is posulatus even in the case of Dini Mamas. We had the Rashi and the Hagos Rashi quoted from the Mordechai, the Sefer HaChochma, some of the Rishonim say based on Rashi, that a Nochri is kosher leidus in Dini Mamas if we know that he's not a Ganav. If he's a Ganav, so the Jew is posulatus if he's a Ganav. If the Nochri is not a Ganav, so he's kosher leidus. That's a very surprising opinion. The Pashtus says, we assume like Tosfos, that a Nochri is posulatus. Here you have Shtori Halvoa signed by Nochrim, Hed Yoytis, Hai Shtori Barso. But if you give it over in the presence of Eidim Mesira, so the Gemara says, then it's good. The Masr Nale Bapi Sadi Yisrael. What do you mean it's good? If the Loyvi gives over the Shtar to the Malve, if the Malve has a Shtar that's signed by Nochrim, Hed Yotos, and it says that the law was $100,000. The Hedyotas don't have any nemanis. Hedyotas don't have any nemanis. Even according to Tosfos, that a Nochri is, even according to the Rashi, a Nochri is kosher leidus. But the Chashurim L'Shakir. Only if it's Shtar Ho'ele Bar Kois, then they're not Chashurim L'Shakir. Especially if you learn like Tosfos Avad Azoi. So the Nochri has a Shtar that says the law was $100,000. So it doesn't mean anything. But if he gave over the Shtar in the presence, the Loivi gave over the shtar to the Malva in the presence of Eidim Mesira. And the Malva wants to collect the Halvoa. So the Loivi denies it. He says the whole thing is called a Sheker. The Hadyot is signed on a Sheker. So the Eidim Mesira come. And they say, no, you gave him over the shtar in our presence. And you know how to, it's written in Persian. So they say, we read it. You know what it said in the shtar. What you give it over to the Malva in our presence for? Obviously, you know what it says, that he lent you $100,000. You made a haidos baldin. We weren't there. The Eidim Mesira weren't there at the time that the Malva lent them the $100,000. That's what it says in the Shtar. And they read the Shtar, and they spoke Persian to the Loiva. And the Loiva knows how to speak Persian, knows how to read Persian. So he read the Shtar also before it was given over. So the Eidim Mesira tell us that the Loiva made a haidos baldin in our presence, that he borrowed $100,000 from the Malva. So the Gemara says he can collect from B'nai Chorin. So the Gemara says, why? Because the Loiva made a Hadoas Badin, Feng Rav HaHalayad Mikri. How do the Edom know how to read Persian? How do they know what it says? The Gemara says, we're talking about a case that they do know how to read. The Edom know how to read, and they know that the Loiva knows how to read. And the Loiva gave the Shtar over to the Malva in our presence, so he made a Hadoas Badin, and he owes him the money. Fake the more funny kasha, but Habina Ksap Sheni Yochel his diet for Lecha. What's the din of Ksav Sheni Yochel his daif? Ksav Sheni Yochel his daif is needed when you're talking about a shtar raya. If you have a document and you want this document to serve as a shtar raya, so you have chasinus on the bottom. That's considered like a hagodah seder. But if the shtar is given over to the malva, he can erase everything and rewrite everything. He'll leave the chasinus on the bottom, and he'll change the whole text. It says that the loiva owes him $100,000. He'll change it to read he owes him $1,000,000. Why only $100,000? We'll change it to $1,000,000,000. Why not? Talking telephone numbers is there. $1,000,000,000. He owes him $50,000,000,000. Right? He can change whatever he wants. That's if it's a ksav, sheyochol lehiz dayeh, you can change the text of what's written and it won't be noticeable. So there's no shtar raya. So when you're talking about a shtar raya, we require that it should be a ksav, sheyne yochol lehiz dayeh. You cannot change it. According to Rav Meir's opinion, that Edi Hasima Karsi, the mechanics of every shtar kinyan are, by giving a shtar raya to the other party, this causes the kinyan to take effect. I give a shtar raya to a girl that she's married to me. I give a shtar raya to my wife that she's divorced from me. I give a shtar raya to another person that he owns my house. So by giving a raya, by din matvis, a shtar raya to the other person that he owns my house, that accomplishes that the house now belongs to him. So if you hold like Rav Meir, that's what Eide Chasim Karsi is all about. So then Rav Meir holds every shtar has to start off as a shtar raya. If it's a shtar raya, that's the beginning and the end of the whole shtar. It's a shtar raya. If it's a shtar kinyan, the mechanics of the shtar kinyan is by giving a shtar raya to the other part. So then you need that it should be ksav sheni yochel his daya. But here we're not talking about a shtar. We're talking about a haidos baldin. The loive gave a shtar parso to the malve in the presence of two edim. And the edim read Persian, and the edim know that the loive knows how to read Persian. And they said, wait a minute, what are you giving him with the shtar? So the Loiva says, what it says in the shtar is true. Do you understand Persian? Yeah, he understands. Well, wait a minute, they read it. It says that he borrowed $1,000,000, $1,000,000,000, whatever it says there. So it's good. It's good not for Torah shtar raya. It's signed by Nochem on the bottom, signed by Nochem had yaitis. So that's no good l'chala days. Even if you hold like Rashi in the Sefer HaChochma, that a Nochem is kosher leidis and dinim aminis men ator, but that's only by Arkoyas, by Hedyotis, the Hashudim L'Shaker. So how does it accomplish anything here? Because the Edom Asiris say he made a Haidos Baldin in our presence. He told us he knows Persian. He told us he's giving over the Shtar to the Mal, because whatever it says in the Shtar is true. So the Edom come later on, and they say that we heard a Haidos Baldin. We saw a Haidos Baldin in our presence. The Loide gave over the Shtar to the Mal. Made him $100, but then he owes him the money. He said, what is the Gemara hak about that you need ksav sheni yochel his daif? And the Gemara answers, that's what we're talking, ksav sheni yochel his daif. What does it have to be ksav sheni yochel his daif for? It's a peladiki Gemara. So what does Tosis say? Tosis doesn't understand. But being ksav sheni yochel his daif. Tosis says, look on chav beis on the beis, there's a machlek zab yechanan and Rabbi Loza his Talmud. What does it say on chav beis on the beis? So the Mishnah has on Chafalof on the base. The Gemara is commenting on the Mishnah. Mishnah appears on Chafalof on the base. Yudah ben Misei right there. Middle of the Mishnah, Chafalof on the base. Ein koisvim loyal on the yor ha-mochuk or loyal ha-difterot. He cannot write a get on a piece of paper where something was written and it was erased already. And you're going to write a shtar on erasure. Why? Because just like you erased it once, now you can erase everything and rewrite it. So it's a yochel lehizdayef. You can easily tamper with the text of the shtar. So that's what it says. You cannot write a get loyal on the or hamochel because it's yochel lehizdayef. Loyal adifter mepnesha yochel lehizdayef. Why? Rabbi Yehuda ben Meser is of the opinion like Rav Meir, that Edi Chasim Karsi, and the mechanics of every shtar kinyan is by my giving a shtar raya to my wife that we are divorced, that accomplishes that we just became divorced. So if she can change the whole text of the shtar to read whatever she pleases, so then it cannot serve as a shtar raya. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Misera holds like Rav Meir, V'chachamim achshirim. And the majority opinion is against Rav Meir, against Rav Yehuda ben Yisera. The chachamim achshirim. Who are the chachamim? The last line of chachamim and alef man chachamim. So the Gemara goes over to him in base. Amar Rav Elazar the Amora. Rav Elazar was an Amora student of Rav Yechanan. So Rav Elazar says, Rav Elazar he. The Mishnah goes like the Tana Rav Elazar. The Amar Edim Misira Karasi. The machlokes between Rav Yehuda ben Yisera v'chachamim and the Mishnah chafalafim and base is exactly the machlokes between Rav Meir and Rabbi Lozer. Rabbi Yehuda ben Yisera holds like Rav Meir and Eidei Chasima cards. Eidei Chasima has the mechanics of every shtar kinyan is has to start off by serving as a shtar raya. So Yochel his life is not a shtar raya. And we paskin, you don't need that it should be a shtar raya. So now the question is, this shitas Rabbi Lozer, that Eidei Misira karsi. Does Rabbi Lozer, Eidei Misira karsi, the verb karsi, only makes sense by get creases? Does the only Rav Elazar Shita is only by Get Isha, or does he even apply to a Shtar Kinyan as well? So that's a machlokes we had on Peivav Amud Beis. Tosfos Sandal Amud Aleph quoted it, because the Gemara had an expression on Dal Amud Aleph, Halachik Rav Elazar Begitin. What does it mean, Begitin? Only Begitin, or Bishtar Shtaris Loi? Or even Mishar Shtaris? So Tosfos says, Afag Af the Kol Amaroi Delakamon Peivav Amud Beis, Sabri Ki Rav Elazar Dafke Begitin. The loy b'shar shtoris kaimel and kishmuel be paskin like Shmuel and Peivavim Beis who disagrees with the others that not only is the halacha like Rav Elazar begitin, the halacha is like Rav Elazar even b'shar shtoris as well. What's the room to distinguish between gitin and shar shtoris? So the Gemara here on Chav Beis and Beis has the same achlekes Rav Yechanan and Rav Elazar his Talmud. Rav Elazar the Amora the Talmud of Rav Yechanan. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Yirmiyah. When Yirmiyah was given the nevuah that his cousin is going to come from the city Anassos, is going to try to sell him his field. So he should buy the field, even though it didn't make any sense. The whole Eretz Yisrael is going to collapse. The whole real estate is going to be worthless because it's going to be taken away by the Babylonian armies. They're going to take over, going to steal the whole Eretz Yisrael. He was told by nevuah that he has to buy the field from his cousin. He should write two shtars and say for Goloi. And say for Chosim, and it says Unamas Unasatom, you should place to them the two shtaris bechli cheres, the man yamdu yomim rabin. So Rav Elazar says, Rav Elazar the Amora says, lehichshir Rav Elazar the Tana Rav Elazar said that Eidei Misira Karsi, that's only by a get, because a get is in the area of Issa the Heter, and that's really, it's up to you to observe the din, whether you be in violation of Lysinif or not. So the woman will say that she's divorced, okay. Avul Bishar Shtar is by Shtari. Mom and Rav Elazar is not going to say Eidei Misira Karsi because the Pasuk emphasizes when it comes to the world of business, the main thing is that you have to have a Shtar Rice. Even Rav Elazar the Tana will agree with Rav Meir that you have to have Ksav She'en Yochol his Dayev. Rav Yechanan disagrees. I feel a b'shar shtoris. Either Rav Elazar Shita, Rav Elazar disagrees with Rav Meir Eidei Misira Karsi, not only by Get Isha Karsi, but say if increased by Get Isha, even b'shar shtori moment as well. Either but the pasuk says in the Satha Michel Cheres, Man Yam the Yomaram should serve as a shtar raidas, and it's a type of kamashmalah. If you want to use your brains, in the world of business, it's not smart to rely on promises. You better make sure that you have a raya b'ksav. But strictly speaking, the Shtar Kinyan will function even if it doesn't serve as a Shtar Rai. Shtar Kinyan is good with the Eidei Misira Karsi. So it's a machloikas. There is a machloikas, two versions. What did the Tana Rav Elazar say? And then on Peivav Amud Beis we saw the Gemara says, no, Rav Elazar, we know what the Tana Rav Elazar said. Rav Elazar holds Eidei Misira Karsi Afilu B'Shar Shtaris. But there's a machloikas on Morai. Maybe we should split the Psach. The two versions. Rav Elazar never said it outside of Get. Rav Elazar Mikir Adin holds that Shar Shtari Momen have to have the power to serve as a Shtar Raya. Has to have Eidei Chasima to serve as a Shtar Raya. No, Rav Elazar himself, Tarti Yomer. Rav Elazar said two things. He holds Eidei Misira Karsi by Get, and Eidei Misira Karsi by Shtari Momen as well. V'Rav Sava Kavasi B'chodah, Palagalei B'chodah. That's how the Gemara says, right in the middle of Peivav and Beis. Rav Elazar Tarti Omer, Rav Elazar the Tana said two things, Eidei Misira Karsi by Get and Mishar Shtaris, and Rav holds you should only paskin halfway. Yeah. But how do we paskin? So that was the machlekas that we had. Tosfos on Dalet Amud Aleph, quoted from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, on Daf Chav Ches. that you see halacha k'rab lozer afilu v'shtori mamet. We had the Melchames on Dav Chavches gave a whole interpretation in the Gemara, a fancy interpretation in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that the Gemara wasn't paskening outright halacha k'rab lozer. The Gemara was paskening based on a tzir of hashitas. They're not sure that the din is like k'rab lozer v'shar shtoros. They're not positive that the din is like that. So that's a shaila and halacha had it paskening. So here, you come to this strange Gemara. The Gemara says, give over the shtar halvoa, the loiva should give over the shtar halvoa to the malva in the presence of Edom Esira. What are Edom Esira going to accomplish over here? Edom Esira will serve as Edom that there's a haiduas baldin, because they read the Persian, b'diyadi, they know how to read Persian, and they know that the loiva knows how to read Persian, and the loiva said in our presence, read the document, what it says is true, and I know how I wrote it. I know what it says in the document. So the Loi, the Meir HaDos Baldin, in the presence of the Tu'edim Esira, that what it says in this piece of paper is true. So what do you have to have? Ksav Sheni Yochel is Daif. Ksav Sheni Yochel is Daif is a din that's only required in a Shtar Raya. It's not serving as a Shtar Raya. It's not serving as a Shtar Kinyan, as a Shtar Raya. It's a HaDos Baldin. He made a HaDos Baldin by giving the Loi, by giving the Shtar to the Malva in our presence. Was made in our presence that he owes him the money. So Tosis says, the one line Tosis says, the Rav Loza Parch, the Omer Perk, Shein Adav Chal, Beis Meis, Lich, Shur Rav Loza, Dom Shiyoch, Liz Daif, Ela Begit, and Dav Kalu, Bishar Shtos, Machlitz, Rav Loza, Rav Yechanan, our Gemara goes like Rav Loza. Very schwer, what it has to do, it has nothing to do with Rav Loza. It has nothing to do with Rav Loza. The Gemara says, it's good, Betoris Haiduaz, Baldin over here. He made a haidos baldin. The loiva by giving over this time made a haidos baldin. It's a very shver tosfos. The pashta says the gemara means a different thing. The pashta says the gemara means like this: the eidim will come and say, "We were watching the way the loiva told us. Read this document. I'm giving it over to the malva. Whatever it says is true." So they read it quickly. That was 5 years ago. So how are they going to remember? They're going to remember every single case and all the conditions and everything. So the Gemara means to say like this: if they'll remember that, they can remember without seeing the piece of paper now. That's marvelous. If they have such a fantastic memory, they're going to remember everything that they saw all of their lives. That's gevaldik. What if they'll just remember? We remember when the Loiva gave a document to the Malva, and it was written in Persian, and it was 10 years ago. We don't remember all the details. Oh, so now the Malva produces the document, so they say, yeah, that looks like the document that he showed us 10 years ago. So they say, yeah, we remember the way he gave it to him in our presence, and he made a hadas about it. So that's what the Gemara means to say. Maybe he doctored up, maybe the Malva doctored up the document, maybe originally he said he owes him $10,000 and he changed it to be $1 billion. Maybe he changed the text. If it's Yochel, his Dayev, so how can they? They don't remember all the details of the case, they just remember he gave a shtar. They don't remember everything. So the Gemara says, but if it's a ksav sheni yochel his day, if it can't be tempered with, and the malva is holding on to it, not that it has a din of a shtar. This will help the Eide Mesira remember the details of the case. Say, yeah, remember that he gave him over such a document. So if it's a ksav sheni yochel his day, if it can't be changed, so then together with what it says in the text, and their memories, so if you put two and two together, so then it'll be good. But not that it goes very difficult, what Tosis says. The Gemara's kasha goes, according to Rabbi Lozer against Rabbi Yechanan. What does that have to do with Rabbi Yechanan? They're talking over here, the Eidei Chasima signed that puzzle. The Hedyotas, Nochrin, who signed it. You can't say that the Gemara goes here with the sheet of Rabbi Lozer, Dav Chabes, and you need Eidei Chasima, L'chol HaDeis. Rabbi Lozer only disagrees with Rabbi Meir by get, and Mashar Shtaris, he agrees you need Eidei Chasima. Eidei Chasima, puzzle over here. Very difficult tesis. Pashto says has nothing to do with Rav Lozer Rav Yechanan. The Pashto says that the reason why you need Ksav Shein Yochel his life is not because of the din that you need Muchach Mitoicha. It's not working the Torah Sashtar Rai over here. It's working the Torah Sashtar Baldin. You need any Yochel his life because they don't remember all the details of the case. They just remember, gave him a document, and then you're going to see, oh yeah, this is Taka, the same document we remember. That's the same document that he had at that time. But if they don't remember all the details and Ksav Sheyochel is life, so maybe that he changed all the numbers there.
Part of the kasha is only kasha feeling like Rashi, that Chasmu Parsiyim Hediotus?
Yeah.
But the Ritva here says that the Chatnik Mar is, we're talking about archives.
That is signed by our Kodesh.
So it could be Tosfos learns like there are 12.
Okay, could be Tosfos has a different pshat than the Gemara. Okay, but the way Rashi learns, the whole Tosfos is out of place here. The whole comment that Tosfos met is in Gatzin out of place. Okay, we'll have to continue on Sunday.